Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the Tuesday Stand-Up on March 21st, and happy first full day of spring. My name is Ann Patterson, and I chair the Education Committee for Leading Age Maryland. Because of PEAK in Washington, D.C., both Deborah and Jill are out of the office today, so I agreed to host the call, so thank you for joining. Really, really thrilled today to share the topic of the 48-hour discharge and care plan meeting. We are thrilled to welcome Christy Yoski of HealthPro Heritage for a discussion on the why and how behind the 48-hour discharge and care planning meeting with the resident and responsible party and the value it brings. She's also going to discuss aligning the process with the final rule for a 48-hour baseline care plan that is resident-centric and using it to guide successful discharge planning from day one. So a note that I have muted all of the lines except for the presenter, and at the end I will certainly open up all of the call lines and you can ask your questions. So without further ado, Christy, thank you so much for joining us, and it's all yours.
Thank you, Anne. I'm very excited today to talk and kind of share some information with everyone today. I appreciate your attendance and the questions that you'll hopefully have after this session. I'm excited again because this is what I do for a living. I'm a healthcare reform consultant, and we all know in today's healthcare environment, it's ever-changing. Long gone are the days where we can sit back and every 3 or 4 years deal with changes. I think we're probably dealing with them every quarter, four or five times a year at minimum. So it's always changing, and we have to be adaptive to that. So as a healthcare reform consultant, really in today's ever-changing environment, I always make the recommendation to start discharge planning from day one. Really, whether it's in a meeting on site with the resident and the resident representative or via phone with the appropriate people, so really the interdisciplinary team and the resident rep have a clear understanding of the plan, and that we include them in the planning to be as effective as possible. So that hasn't really changed. What is exciting is that the 2017 long-term care final rule has really brought this recommendation to life, and it's going to be coming across the entire long-term care setting. So with that final rule, phase one was effective on 11/28/2016, and it really added a new section, and that section was comprehensive care planning. And that section also must include discharge planning, that discharge planning process really from day one. It's set to improve overall resident and resident representative involvement in the care and really move the process to be more resident-centric. So understanding their goals, what they see as the outcome, what their preferences are for discharge. And it also adds the direct care staff as really the team members to be a part of the development of the care plan, which is exciting. So it's not just those, who are normally at a care plan meeting. It's also the CNA who's working directly with the resident. It also includes the food and nutrition staff who work directly with that resident. They don't have to be at the care plan, but they have to be a part of development of it. So what they think is really beneficial to that resident really needs to be involved in that care plan as well. So it really added to align the long-term goals with Health and Human Services Department, which, as we know, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, reducing rehospitalizations and providing effective and efficient care transitions. And that's really through the triple aim, which is reduced cost per capita cost, improve overall population health, and improve the overall experience of care, which is what we know as patient satisfaction today. So no surprise there. But we know now in phase one that a comprehensive care plan must be done within really 7 days of that comprehensive assessment, and it must include discharge planning. But what we don't know, or maybe you do know now, effective 11/28/2017, so November of this year, a 48-hour baseline care plan will be required. And that's really required to set the initial goals for the resident with really the minimum required healthcare information to properly care for that resident. And that would include orders from the physician, the dietary team, the therapy, social services, and the PASAR if applicable. And I think that's really imperative. If you don't have that physician already involved early on and your therapists aren't getting that assessment done with really within that 24 to 48 hours and providing the information, that needs to start. And now is probably the best time than ever to be able to coordinate all of that. And then with the baseline care plan within that 48 hours, it does not, it's not affected by holidays or weekends. So I think that's something we all need to start thinking about. how are we going to plan that? How are we going to schedule it? How are we going to coordinate all of that information together to be able to get a summary to the resident and the resident representative? And that summary must be provided to both of them if there is a resident representative, with initial goals, the summary of any medications or dietary instructions that come along with the orders from the physician, list of any services and treatments that will be administered by either the personnel of the facility or on the facility's behalf if you do a contracted service. And then, of course, to notify the resident and the resident representative that any updated information will be kind of reviewed with them as well, because if you're doing a baseline care plan, then 7 days after your comprehensive assessment, you would need to do a comprehensive care plan, and that may change kind of what you initially thought as kind of the course of action. But I think we can all agree that a movement has been made in the recent years to begin a more comprehensive discharge planning program sooner rather than later. So our recommendations as consultants really has been in the past to do a 48 or 72-hour care conference, whether it's on-site with a resident representative and resident or over the phone, to really discuss the plans, what their goals are, what their outcome and desires are. I think the biggest thing is to make sure the resident is present. I think too often we see the resident is not present. Now we're kind of being almost forced to do 48 hours. So 72 isn't soon enough anymore. So we have to kind of help get that resident to the next level of care while mitigating their risk for rehospitalization. So in some cases, a comprehensive care plan can actually be done in place of a baseline care plan. If there are any MDS nurses on this call, they may be gasping at this point because it is still required within 48 hours of admission. So if you decide to do the comprehensive in place of the baseline and do all-encompassing, it still has to be done within 48 hours of admission. You just then would not need to do the comprehensive care plan 7 days after the comprehensive assessment. It would already be done. And it really would include, because, I think when we look at that planning within that 48 hours, we should be talking about what's the discharge plan, what is your goal, what is the target date for this. We can't be afraid to kind of have those conversations. And I think some of the other things that we should be discussing within 48 hours is, aside from the resident admission goals and discharge goals, we have to also document and discuss our assessments as the interdisciplinary team and what our recommendations are. And part of that comprehensive care plan is to document if our recommendation based on our assessments differ from that of the resident's preference. We need to kind of come to a decision. Is a discharge to the community feasible? And if it's not, we have to document why and who made this decision. That's going to be an important process of the comprehensive care plan altogether. The other piece is to align ourselves with the Impact Act. We need to be able to show quality measures when we're discharging a patient to whether it's a hospital or a home with home health. We need to be able to share those quality measures with our resident and resident representative in order for them to make the best decision really based on quality of care. I think within that meeting, we'll talk about prior level. What did they do before? What kind of support services did they have before? I think one of the most important things, because we're not always getting our residents back to the prior level of function when we discharge them from our care, we are transitioning them to the next level of care as effectively and efficiently as possible. So we have to consider the needs, including the caregiver. So what kind of support can that caregiver give? What's the capacity of that caregiver to give the support? And then really, what's their capability? We can no longer assume that the resident can go home with a caregiver and not really assess that situation. And the final rule makes that a piece of the comprehensive care plan, that we are kind of looking at that and documenting what the outcome of our considerations for caregiver support are. Can they have a first floor setup if their bedroom is on the second floor for a week or two while they're on home health getting back to prior level? Can we set that up? So this is very important from a social service aspect. Will the resident rep or caregiver be on site for the first week or two while they're on home health? Will the resident rep and caregiver come in for training set up by nursing and rehab and social services? And then really, what were their prior support services? Did they have Meals on Wheels, a meal delivery service available? Did they have a private duty nurse coming in? And then we're also setting up, hopefully, upon discharge, any follow-up labs or appointments. Do they have transportation to get there? Have we notified the primary care physician that they will be coming and that they're maybe high risk and going home early, just to be aware of those things? Other things to discuss really are your advanced directives. I think this is key. There has to be a conversation around end of life and rehospitalizations if applicable. But also, do you have your medical director or physician involvement prior to hospitalizations? Having that discussion with the resident and resident representative is imperative. We can handle a lot of things in-house, and so often are we sending residents out to the hospital when we could have done something in-house just because maybe they're not comfortable with the services that we're providing. So having your physician involved and having that conversation from day one will be key. And this meeting, phone or on-site, is really imperative to have that conversation so they understand what you're trying to accomplish from day one, and hopefully that aligns with their goals, because that's really the whole resident-centric piece. Discussing any pain management, any pre-scheduled or follow-up visits while they're there. And then the key point is we know what they're, hopefully now, what their goal and discharge plan is. We've done our assessments. We know what our recommendations will be. We have to have that point of discussion. Based on our assessments, these are our recommendations. We understand you want to go home, but you're going to need X, Y, and Z support. And then give them an expected timeline. I think I mentioned this earlier, but long-term care, we're not used to giving a discharge date. We have to get more used to that. We have to have those plans really from day one. So it's not a surprise 2 days prior to discharge. We're seeing better patient satisfaction as we're communicating more effectively and upfront, and that they understand why. And then really, if you have any health literacy programs, so education to the resident or resident responsible or rep or caregiver, introducing any health literacy programs. So what to expect with education, maybe giving them the materials at this meeting and kind of how that will be set up throughout their stay. Any home evaluations, we should be doing those early to mid-stay from a therapy or social services standpoint. We need to assess the barriers for discharge so we can properly set them up. So this is a great time, again, to set up that date and time. And then, of course, any caregiver education that we need to do as well. You can briefly go over any FAQs with Medicare and insurance benefits. And that is all helpful information to them. The big thing for a comprehensive care plan is you must obtain the signature of the resident and resident rep. One thing I want to state, if it's not practical to have the parties present, you need to document why. And then really I want to review the interdisciplinary team that should be involved in the development of a care plan, which is really the attending physician, the RN responsible for the patient, the CNA providing direct care, and a member of the food and nutrition services, as well as the resident and the resident representative. And then, of course, you know, they say in the final rule any other services required if there's something related to psychiatry, behavioral, that they may also be involved. But they do not have to be at any meeting. They just need to have some sort of step in the development of, and that really should be documented. How do we know who was involved? How do we know who provided input for that plan of care? So the state may be looking for that as well. And then, of course, if you're doing your baseline care plan, you must provide the resident and the resident representative one. With a summary of that care plan. And I think I went on mute. Am I back?
You're back. No, yeah, somebody had joined the call and had their music on and put us on hold. I apologize.
Okay, thank you. So, again, I'm just going to review the summary of the care plan for the baseline care plan to the resident in language that they can understand. You really need to list the services and treatments to be administered by the personnel of the facility or on the facility's behalf. So if they're on diet, if they're followed by dietary, PT, OT, ST, et cetera, and then the initial goals that you've all come to agreement on, a summary of their medications and dietary instructions, and then notification of updated information based on the details of that comprehensive care plan. So I think the biggest point is determining how are you going to set up that 48-hour baseline care plan? Who's going to be responsible? Who's going to run that? Who's going to make sure the resident and the resident rep have the summary? Are you going to include discharge planning? That would be my recommendation, although it's not required. You heard the list that I kind of went through of the summary. Discharge planning isn't necessarily on there, although goals are. So, again, best practice would be to include your discharge planning in that baseline care plan, if not replacing the baseline care plan with a comprehensive care plan. Again, your MDS nurse may gasp when they hear that. So you really need to see what's best for your community and what works best. But this is not until November 28th, 2017, but it is right around the corner. And if I've learned anything, these things come very quickly. So start having these discussions. Start thinking about how you're going to implement this and how you're going to get that IDT together to gather all of that information within 48 hours and really use that time wisely. What is really going to be effective to discuss with the resident and the resident rep to get the best outcome possible and aligning yourself with that triple aim of reduced cost, patient satisfaction, and overall population health. So, Anne, with that, I am all done. So I'll pass it back over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and start to unmute the lines. Does anyone have any questions for Christy? Looks like all the lines are unmuted. Any questions today for Christy?
Yeah. So from a therapy perspective, for the 48-hour care plan, if it's involving weekends and things like that, would just providing notes for whoever is running the care plan suffice, do you think, or do you think that therapists need to be present the way that they are for comprehensive?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question, and I think it depends on, you know, your short-term rehab unit and how quickly you're moving patients from one level to the next. You know, we're recommending that therapists on weekends be prepared to be a part of that. Some centers are looking at just having one person be with a resident and call the resident representative and kind of gather all the details from the medical chart and then reviewing it together. Others are bringing the IDT together. So I think that's really going to be determinant on what the administration, director of nursing wants to really do. But again, I think there's probably a lot of questions surrounding rehab. We're not, you know, nursing and rehab are kind of the two most important elements to transition that patient to the next level of care. So we often hear there are questions. So I recommend that you start having that discussion. But 7 day a week therapy is becoming, at least availability is becoming more and more widely used as length of stays shorten and we're expected to get the same outcomes in a shorter period of time. So I don't think that it's a bad thing to say as a PRN therapist or weekend coverage therapist that we're involved in those meetings, but that doesn't necessarily have to be. It's just we have to provide the information for that baseline care plan. We do not have to be there.
Okay.
Great question. Does that help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, having the therapist available on the weekends, we just want to make sure that they're not going to say something that won't be out of place. So providing, like, the appropriate information, you know, things like that, rather than having a therapist who hasn't seen that patient, who hasn't, you know, been involved with their care and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Any other questions for Christy? Christy, quick question. Is there a presentation or handout that we can attach to our website that you have for today?
Yes, I'm going to go ahead and send over the 48-hour recommendations that we have that I just reviewed.
That would be great. If you can send that to me, I'll make sure I get it up on the website. And just a reminder to everyone that we have recorded the call today, and it will be on the Leading Age Maryland website. You have access to that. You do not need a login. You can just go in, and you can go up to education and take a look. My name is Ann Patterson, and if you have any questions on behalf of Deborah and Jill, I'd be happy to answer them today. So everybody have a wonderful day, and thank you so much, Christy. It was an awesome presentation. Have a great day.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.